Okay, I'm ready. Let's get our Bibles open to Philippians. Believe it or not, we're still in chapter 3. Seems like we've been in chapter 3 for a real long time. In fact, looking at my record, it says this is the 9th lesson in chapter 3. So anyway, that's okay with me. I'm enjoying the chapter and hope you're enjoying it too. The first thing I want to do tonight, though, is to go back and talk about a couple of things that I kind of skimmed over quickly because I just didn't see any way to work it in during our previous lessons. But then we will pick it up. We'll pick up our text with what we have for tonight on the subject tonight. The Bible says, first of all, in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Okay, so I want to talk about that. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. Now, I don't know who said it, but I think it's worth repeating and possibly even might want to make a note of it in your Bible. And that is, it is better to do one thing than to attempt 50 things. Many of us accomplish nothing because we're trying to accomplish too much. That's a fact. I know about that. Find out what God has enabled you to do. Find out what God has gifted you to do. Find out what God wants you to do and devote your time and your energy to that one thing. And you will fare much better than you would if you were trying to accomplish 50 things. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 4, this is the next thing. It's actually supports what we're looking at here on this one thing. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Okay, so you see what the psalmist did? He picked one thing, he had one desire in his heart, and then he sought after that one thing. Okay, that's Psalm 27, verse 4, really matches the Philippians verse we're looking at. And then one more on that, in Luke chapter 10, verse 42, the Bible says there, but one thing is needful. That's Jesus speaking. One thing is needful. Now, Jesus had already answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So one thing done is better than 50 things attempted and probably not done. All right. And then there's a curious thing as well in that same verse, Philippians 3:13. I just kind of always thought it was odd. It's or maybe humorous, I guess. But Paul, he has just spent, if you remember what we've studied, he has just spent the first half of the chapter talking about his former life, going over some things in his former life. And then he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Isn't that kind of a curious thing that he just had that discussion with us about things God told him to forget, that he couldn't forget? You know, well, think about it, though. We use the term, the same term today in the same way in our conversation. For example, this is just one example. Somebody will take somebody out for a meal. And after the meal, they'll go through this little pretend debate, this practice ritual of arguing over who's going to pay for the meal, both of them secretly hoping that they lose the argument. But then man number one, he'll pay for the meal for man number two. And man number two, he'll say, I owe you. And man number one will say, ah, just forget about it. Just forget about it. Now, he doesn't expect that man to have no memory of what has been done, but he wants that man to live without being bothered by or negatively affected by that memory. That's how the phrase is used, or the term is used here in Philippians chapter 3. God knows we can't erase our past life from our memory banks, but he wants us to live in such a way that those things do not have any binding negative effect upon us. And I'm glad he said that, aren't you? I'm glad I can forget about what I can't forget about. God sure is good to us in so many ways. Amen. And then another note here in verse 14, Philippians 3:14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Just a quick thing here. A study was done at one of our Western universities, and they found out that 46% of people who die, they die within 3 months after their last birthday. 31% die 4 to 6 months after their last birthday. 15% die 7 to 9 months after their last birthday, leaving only 8% who die in the 3 months preceding their birthday. So it seems, by if you look at that, if it means anything, seems that having a goal to shoot for keeps people going. Fewer people die when it's close to their birthday. And that certainly is a biblical truth anyway. Having a goal keeps you going. All right, the Bible says now in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, this is what we're going to focus on tonight. And notice it's a parenthetical statement. It's all in parentheses. And this will be our text passage for the Bible study tonight here. The Bible says in these verses, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That right there that we just read, that is huge. That is huge. And that's going to take up the rest of our time here. First of all, these enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, that they are many, not a few, not one, not two, not a handful, not a hundred, but many enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, when you make a statement like that, the enemies of the cross of Christ, they begin to criticize you for being negative. And they begin to speak against you for not having the proper level of tolerance and not being all-inclusive and the rest of that garbage. Well, they can say whatever they want about me. I want my life to line up with the Word of God. And the Word of God says right here, there are many, many enemies. Do you have enemies? Well, if your enemies are Bible-preaching Christians, you're on the wrong side. If your enemies are Bible-rejecting religious people, you're probably on the right side. So, where are you today? It says, for many walk. And the whole passage, remember, is about our walk. Some people are walking in a way that we're told to follow. We are to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. We are to walk as Jesus Christ walked, but many, many walk contrary to the Word of God. Secondly, of these many who walk, comma, of whom I have told you often. So listen, I hope you're listening very, very carefully now. I am fully aware of the day and the time in which I live. But did you know 50 years ago, the opposition came from cults and from members of extremely, extremely liberal groups who were Christian in name, but held to none of the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. But today, you'll find that the main opposition as a preacher of the Word of God, it doesn't come from cults. They're kind of shrinking in size. It doesn't come from liberal groups who just really don't care anymore what anybody preaches. They're all just wrapped up in politics mostly. But you know what? The criticism today comes from people who claim to be fundamental Christians, who claim to believe the Bible. Their criticism is not leveled against men who deny the virgin birth, which they profess to believe. Their criticism is not leveled against men who deny the deity of Christ, which they profess to believe. Their criticism is not leveled against people who teach that one can be saved by works, while they themselves claim to believe that salvation is by grace through faith. No, they spend their time criticizing preachers who preach all the Bible, which includes those portions of the Bible that warn against, that cry out against, that censure false teaching and false living. Well, that's where we are. We have lived to see the day when people oppose what they claim to believe. And I'll show you why before we finish these two verses. It's clear in the passage that we're looking at tonight. The Bible says the Apostle Paul, serving God, ministering in the will of God, directed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, bearing fruit by virtue of the blessing of his Savior, the Bible says Paul often spoke against bad living, spoke against false teachers, spoke against those whose lives were not exemplary of biblical Christianity. He did so often, as any decent minister should. He said, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Weeping. Do you understand? This is not a hateful man here. You understand? This is not a man who wants to hurt people. He's not getting any joy out of this. This is not a man who has some personality problem or some axe to grind, some kind of overwhelming bitterness of soul and spirit. He's doing what a man has to do if he's going to represent God in a world that opposes God. If he's going to stand for truth in a world that despises truth, well, this is what he has got to do. He doesn't have a choice in the matter. Unless he wants to become one of the enemies of the cross of Christ, rather than one who ministers the truth of the cross of Christ by word and by example. So, with weeping, he often warns of those who are walking so as to be a bad example rather than so as to be a good example. All right, now they are the enemies. You understand that? Enemies. They don't have a different way of looking at things. It's not that they have a different way of doing things. They're not just somebody with a different point of emphasis. They are the enemies. Now, I understand with all this pathetic, effeminate preaching, I understand with all this money-loving, carnal compromising that you find on Christian radio, Christian TV, Christian churches, and in the Christian bookstores for morning, noon, and night, I understand you think Christians shouldn't have any enemies. I understand that. I understand where that comes from. But you're wrong. You are supposed to have enemies. Who are your enemies supposed to be? those who do not walk in the way that they are supposed to walk, according to what this book of Philippians teaches. You understand that? Do you get that? They are enemies. You say, well, yeah, but I go to church with they are enemies. Well, my preacher, they are enemies. Well, the preacher I heard on the radio, they are enemies if they are telling you that you can walk contrary to the word of God, contrary to the will of God, and at the same time be living as Christians, whose example we're told to follow. God said they are enemies. Now notice, listen very, very carefully to what I'm about to say, because this is the key to the whole matter here. And if you feel a little bit bothered, I hope you just bear with me here, because you know maybe you're bothered because you're trying to reconcile your humanism with the Word of God. You're trying to cling to your humanistic interpretation of Christianity, which is not Christianity. And so you're not listening and not paying attention. So a lot of people, they'll shut down their ears because of that. But I hope you're listening, because I'm about to read the Bible. You say, preacher, I love Jesus. I didn't say you didn't. My church loves Jesus. I didn't say they didn't. My friends love Jesus. I didn't deny that for a minute. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible doesn't say that they're enemies of Christ. Okay? The Bible says they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you see that difference there? They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, hope you're listening. This book of Philippians is written to show that Jesus' death on the cross was the end result of his complete and total self-denial for the benefit of others. This book of Philippians teaches that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, having made himself poor so that he could make you rich, having made himself of no reputation so that you could have eternal life. This entire book of Philippians is written to show you that Jesus Christ denied self for others. That real Christian fellowship and real Christian joy comes from denying self for others. And we are to follow the example of those who are following Jesus in such a way as to deny self for others. Okay, I hope you got that. Now, if a minister comes along and writes a book, and you'll find this in the bookstores, writes a book on how you can pervert and misquote a prayer from First Chronicles so that you can get more stuff for yourself, he might love Christ, but he is an enemy of the cross of Christ. If somebody builds a 25,000-seat megachurch and has a nationwide television ministry, and he got all that by twisting and perverting half verses of Scripture to convince you that God wants you rich and to turn the Bible into a support book for humanistic self-love, well, that man might love Christ, but he's an enemy of the cross of Christ. I'm telling you, what we have in our day and age is the fact that the vast majority of ministers who call themselves Christians may well indeed love Jesus, but they are preaching and teaching a Christianity that is not Christianity at all. They're teaching self-love, self-exaltation, self-service, self-glorification, and they have turned God into man's servant and man into God's master. And the Bible says you need to be warned, they are the enemy. All right, how about that? And then let's read some more, read further now. The Bible says this, whose end, OK, Okay, that's the people teaching you to reject the crucified, self-sacrificing, others first life that Jesus lived, whose end is destruction. Well, it may be the destruction of the false teachers. It may be the destruction of those who follow them. But what's the problem? What's the problem? It says, whose God is their belly. There's your prosperity gospel. There's your prosperity doctrines. There's your build the bigger garage, buy the bigger car, get the bigger boat, get the bigger bank account, just rub the bottle and make three wishes, and the great God of heaven will jump at your command. They love their belly. They're materialistic. They're physical. They're carnal. They are not spiritually minded. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame. You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says? All honor and glory should go to Jesus Christ. And we should be ashamed to give ourselves any honor and glory, because that would be to rob the only one who is worthy of honor and glory of the glory to which he's entitled. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. All right, now let me just ask you something. If Jesus Christ deserves all the glory, and if I as a man should surrender all my glory and be ashamed of the life that I've lived and the things that I've done, who are these men coming along and telling you to exalt and magnify and glorify and lift up yourself rather than giving all the honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you who they are. They are enemies of the real, true, genuine Bible Christianity. You don't believe their end is destruction? You watch what happens when a person who has been taught that self-love is Christianity and self-worth is Christianity, just watch when they don't get their way in a church. Something doesn't go their way in the church house. You know what they'll do? They will destroy their testimony. They'll destroy their pastor. They'll destroy their church if they can. You say, well, why would they do that? They've been taught to worship their belly and to give themselves glory. And if you don't go along, they will wage war against you. You know why? They're the enemy. They're the enemy. You better get that. You better believe that, because it's absolutely true. I wish it wasn't. I hate to have to say these things. I mean it. But they're just the absolute facts according to the Word of God. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame. Now look, who mind. Okay, what's this whole book of Philippians been about? What you ought to have your mind upon. Who mind, see that? Who mind earthly things. That's what they mind. That's what they think about. That's what they are interested in. Earthly things. Now, when you meet people whose preaching centers around earthly things, all of this prosperity garbage, when you meet people who would have you live as though acquiring wealth and property and possessions and play toys, as if that was the ultimate thing in life, you understand that those earthly-minded people are the enemies of Bible Christianity, and you should heed the warning of the Word of God and stay as clear of them as you possibly can. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. You don't have to follow the Word of God. Now, you can instead follow men who are enemies of the Word of God, but I would urge you with all my heart to line up with the Bible and not be harmed by those who don't want biblical Christianity. Amen. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the warning. I know it's hard for some people to receive it, but I thank you, Lord, that you cared enough for us, cared enough about us to tell us what to keep a watch out for. And Father, I know you don't want us rubbing elbows with those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. We know, Lord, that in this life we may have difficult times. We won't necessarily get rich as a result, certainly not as a result of being a Christian. But Lord, we thank you for the joy that you've promised that we'd have just for trying to live the kind of life that Jesus Christ lived, a selfless life, a life lived for others. Help us, Lord, to want to live that kind of life, knowing that you've got our rewards for us in heaven, and we don't need to mind earthly things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.